You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Everyone, welcome to this week's Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we are keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. And as we are every week, we are here to break everything down about the Montreal Canadiens and the latest happenings with your favorite NHL franchise. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host on today's show for episode 384 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. This week's episode titled Five Tough Questions Facing the Canadiens. You've got questions, we've got answers, at least to the best of our ability. And I say we because, of course, I am joined in the studio each and every week by my wonderful co-host. He is our founder and president at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. How are you doing today?
I'm doing
Mr.
well.
Mr. Stevens.
How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. I'm waiting for the Snowmageddon 2026 here in Pennsylvania. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think it's going to hit our American friends a lot harder than in Canada, Southern Ontario, Quebec, just supposed to get the edge of the storm. Cold. The feels like temperature is minus 25 Celsius, in Montreal this afternoon. And for Sunday, I think just 10 centimeters of snow, reduced visibility, sort of blowing snow, blizzardy kind of conditions. But sounds like much of the Northeast and even more south than that is going to get dumped on.
In fact, my little area is expected to get anywhere from, 30 to 43 centimeters.
All right, then.
Yeah. So.
You said centimeters. Wow.
I did. I did the conversion on purpose.
Nice. Nice.
I cater to our listeners and
viewers.
How
about that?
Please. And for all of you Habs fans who live in the States, anywhere from like 12 to 17 inches here. So it's going to be a doozy.
But we're going to cater to Canadiens fans today and their questions, or at least the issues that they've been debating, sending in questions, debating online, we've been watching and observing and receiving all of these issues that are on the minds of Canadiens fans.
That's
we're going to talk about today.
That's right. Because if you're new here or if you need a reminder, this is an interactive podcast and we get questions and comments and feedback and statements from listeners and viewers all the time. And so we kind of keep track, we answer a lot of that in real time, but we also keep track of some of the really good questions and keep them on hand for episodes like this one where we can actually address the things that you have to say. If you would like to ever chat with us or give us a question or your own feedback, you can text us anytime at our text line. That's 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. Or you could also leave us a comment on any of our social media channels. It's at Rocket Sports or at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Leave a comment on Spotify. We had some Spotify comments this week. Leave a comment on our YouTube channel. Lots of ways to get in touch with us. And so what we're going to do today, we are going to be answering some of your questions. But first, in our first segment, it's our week in review. We're going to briefly recap the three games that the Canadians played this past week. Give you the kind of the 30,000 foot view of what happened in each of those games and the highlights and, well, sometimes lowlights. Rick's got his three stars of the week that he has selected on who stood out this week, who maybe made the honorable mention list, who's struggling a little bit this week. And we'll get you caught up with where the Canadians sit right now in the playoff race. We've got roster news for you, as well as a prospect report letting you know how the Laval Rocket are doing, Trois-Rivières in the ECHL, as well as prospects playing outside of the pro leagues. And then some general notes, news, headlines from around the broader hockey community. All of that's packed into our first segment. Then in our second segment, that's where we tackle our big topic of the week. And this week, it's tackling five issues being debated by Habs fans right now. And so we are taking five topics, five questions, five scenarios that are kind of hot button issues for Habs fans at this moment, things that they are wanting big answers to, or things that fans have trouble coming to agreement on which is the right answer type of thing. And so we're going to evaluate those, give you our thoughts on them, and see if we can get some clarity on some things as we're coming down the stretch towards the Olympic break. So kind of a state of the team before we take a few weeks. Well, before the Canadians take a few weeks off. We aren't here at Canadians Connection. We'll be here every week. And then finally, in our third segment, we've got our Canadians Connection question of the week. We've got responses from some of you. If you're new here, we ask a fan question, a Canadians Connection question of the week every week. We encourage you to send us your replies to that, your answers, your thoughts on that question. And then the following week, we take the best responses that we've gotten and we read them on the show. And that's what we're going to do this week in the third segment as well. So without further ado, let's recap. Firstly, going back to last Saturday night's game in Ottawa, this was a bit of a barn burner. Neither goaltender really able to stop very much. Montreal coming out on top of the Senators 6-5 in overtime.
11 goals scored. It was, and this was in Ottawa at the Canadian Tire Center. Of course, Canadians fans do their best to travel and back the place, and they did again for this game. Some drama, controversy around Ottawa. We won't talk about that, but this game had a lot of aspects. You mentioned that it was a real tough night for both goaltenders. Sam Montembeault gave up 5.853 save percentage. He didn't look very good at all. Marilainen, if it's possible, looked worse for Ottawa.
Yeah.
So it was the power plays played a factor in this game. Four power play goals in total, two by each. And the game went back and forth into overtime, and it was Cole Caufield, who else? 33 seconds into overtime that ended this, and he had the game winner for the Montreal Canadiens.
Kind of like deja vu on Tuesday night when they were back in Montreal hosting the Minnesota Wild, and Caufield came up with the game winner in this one as well, with Montreal besting Minnesota 4-3.
This looked like it was going to go to overtime. Mm-hmm. Just 15 seconds left when Cole Caufield fired the game winner, giving Montreal the 4-3 win. It was Kirby Dach's return to the lineup. He had been out since mid-November with a broken foot. And for Phil Deneau, his first goal of the season after a pretty long drought. And it was Jakub Dobish in the net for Montreal, and he looked pretty good. Two of the goals by the Wild were on the power play, two goals from Tarasenko. on the power play. Nothing he could really do about there. Everybody was talking after the game, well, during the game as well, about that phantom trip by Lane Hutson on Marcus Foligno. Of course, Lane Hutson was nowhere near Foligno, who just went down on his own, and Hutson received an apology, a rare apology from the referee. It was Eric Furlatt in this case, who said, sorry, bad call. And it certainly was.
It certainly was. So after those two wins, Montreal then hosted Buffalo for the second time in as many weeks on Thursday night. And things didn't go well when they visited Buffalo. I would believe it was the Saturday prior to that, or maybe it was the Tuesday, the week prior. And Buffalo came into Montreal and they did their job. Buffalo chasing down Montreal in the standings, trying to catch up to them, and they were able to eat two more points into their deficit, winning 4-2 in this one.
Yeah, those the Canadians, a few of the divisional games, going to be another one. We were recording Saturday afternoon, another divisional game against Boston Saturday night. The Canadians haven't fared well recently. Buffalo really has the Canadians' number. Started early, just 44 seconds into the game. I believe it was the first shot on Sam Montem. It was a bad start for Sam in this one. And the Sabres, after 23 minutes, had a 3-0 lead. There was a shorthanded goal. Montembeau did not look good on that either. He was deep in the net. He got a fair bit of criticism from Marty Baron, the Sabres analyst. Marty knows goalies and has in the past been a strong supporter of Sam Montembeau. He wasn't on this night. Canadians came back, it wasn't to pan out for Montreal to come back. And Buffalo now, as we're recording, 61 points. That's just two fewer points than Montreal at 63, and the Sabres have a game in hand.
It's getting tight. It's getting to be the tense part of the season. So your three stars this week, undeniable. I think that anyone would disagree with your choice for your first star of the week being Cole Caulfield.
Yeah, Cole Caulfield, the two game winners that I talked about in the three games, he had 4 goals, 1 assist, 5 points. He was a +3, and he split it up quite nicely. He had 3 even strength points and 2 power play points.
Excellent. His line mate doing equally well for you this week, with Nick Suzuki coming in as your second star.
4 points for Suzuki in 3 games. 3 even strength points, 2 power play points, split up nicely again.
And a pleasant surprise to see Josh Anderson rounding out your list with a third star of the week.
Yeah, we know that Josh Anderson had been out for a bit, and in the 3 games this week, a goal, 2 assists, 3 points for Josh Anderson, giving him the third star.
You've got a couple of honorable mentions for this week, though, guys who not quite enough to make it into the 3-star category, but did decently well.
Lane Hutson, when he has a bad week, and I shouldn't say had a bad week, a couple of defensive miscues this week, but still ended up with 5 points, 4 of those on even strength. Phil Deneau, who was in the struggling list last week, he gets an honorable mention. He had his first goal. I mentioned that earlier. But maybe more importantly, what he was brought to Montreal to do, he was good defensively, ended up being a +4 in those 3 games. And he led all centers in terms of faceoff percentage, 65% this week. So bounce back, a very good week for Phil Deneau.
Definitely. Can't talk about the good without also talking about the, I don't want to say bad, but the could use some help category. Who struggled for you this week?
It was Sammy Blais out of the lineup for the forwards this week and Arber Xhekaj. That meant that Jaden Struble was in, and he was paired with Lane Hutson, but did not look good at all. Joe Valeno, maybe not as noticeable, being kind of the second center on that line, a struggling spot for him this week.
Definitely. And Sammy Blais and Arber Xhekaj were the two who had some scratches this week.
That's right.
All right, so through 51 games played, the Canadians now sit with a 28-16-7 record. That is 63 points, sitting still in that third place position in the Atlantic Division, hanging on to seventh place overall in the NHL. They are in a playoff spot, but we mentioned last week how, according to MoneyPuck, their odds of making the playoffs last week had dropped from 80% down to 74.5%. Well, this week it's dropped again from 74.5% down to 70.9%.
And that's just a reflection. The Canadians won twice this week.
Those divisional
two
games.
Out of the three games, yeah. They won, but lost to Buffalo. And so that's how important those 4-point divisional games are, and how important that we talked about the tiebreakers, mm-hmm. The regulation wins. The Canadians just 14th in the league with 18 regulation wins. The teams that are chasing them and that they'll be in a fight with. Buffalo has 22 regulation wins. Boston has 22 regulation wins. The goal differential, the Canadians just plus +3. That's 15th in the league. Buffalo is a plus +12. Boston is a plus +11. The odds of making the playoffs still good at 70%, but have been dropping the last few weeks.
So, with the standings and the recap aside, what is going on with the roster? Well, you did mention one big item, and that was that Kirby Dach returned to gameplay this week.
And with Alex Texier out with a lower body injury, Kirby Dach played two games on the top line with Suzuki and Caulfield. Mixed results, I suppose, would be the kind way of putting it. He didn't look out of place. He certainly added physicality. He was forechecking. He skated well. But Nick Suzuki, his quote this week was, "It's definitely a work in progress for him. He's been out of the lineup a long time, so coming back in the middle of the season is difficult. But he's had some good games. He's tried to play simply. The three of us talk a lot. We're trying to help him build our cohesion together." They played together before, but yeah, it needed the chemistry needs to be rebuilt. And it's too soon to pass any judgment on Kirby Dach, mm-hmm. and how he's fitting in with that top line at this point.
Patrick Laine still inching his way close to a return, still practicing with the team, and has ditched the no contact jersey.
Yeah, and it looks like he could be playing. That the Canadians are kind of stretching this out a little bit. Because of the roster pressure that we talked about last week, and where to put him, what to do with him, the cap situation, taking him off LTIR, all those kinds of considerations. But he looks ready to play. There's even been some suggestion that he's got the green light from doctors, although that not confirmed by the Canadians. We're going to be talking more about him because Canadians fans are talking a lot about Patrick Laine. Mm-hmm. And that will be one of the issues, one of the questions we deal with in the second segment.
So ahead of Saturday night's game in Boston, we do see a couple players rotating back into the lineup, Alex Texier being one of them.
Alex Texier comes in place of Joe Valeno. As I said, Joe Valeno was on my struggling list, so that shouldn't be a surprise.
Arbor Jacki also comes back in. He'll be replacing Jaden Struble.
Again, that makes good sense.
Yeah, and it's going to be Sam Montembeault starting in goal on Saturday night.
Three games for the Canadians, two bad starts for Sam. I don't think they're objectively, I don't think anyone would argue that this past week. This is probably a chance. This would normally be a start for Dobish, but the Canadians should play well in a rivalry game. They always do against the Bruins. So a chance for Sam to rebuild his shaky confidence.
Yeah. All right, before we head into some general NHL news, let's first take a dip into the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
I do have a red alert for you.
All right.
Bryce Pickford is not in the prospect report this week. Giant slacker.
Well, not that he didn't deserve it. It's just we tried to shine the spotlight a little bit deeper and further.
Yes, absolutely. So who do we have? Forward Hayden Papanekis of the Kelowna Rockets made the highlight reel this week.
He did. Friday night, he scored a goal and an assist. His Kelowna Rockets beat the Seattle Thunderbirds 6-3. Hayden Papanekis, recently drafted at the 2025 draft. He was a third round pick, 69th overall, and rare for the Canadians. He was one of the big boys, 6'5", 205 pounds, and is having he's known primarily as a defensive forward. He's very strong defensively, plays with good pace. He's good attention to detail. He's a physical presence, obviously, on the ice, but he's been chipping in with the offense. This season, he has 13 goals, 13 assists for 26 points in 32 games with Kelowna.
Okay. Moving over to Halifax, the Halifax Mooseheads defenseman Carlos Handel had a goal and three assists this week.
Wow.
Defenseman.
Mm-hmm. The Mooseheads beat Sherbrooke 6-3, 4 points in that game for Carlos Handel. We talked about Carlos most recently at the World Juniors. He played for Germany, had 4 points in 5 games in that tournament. He was also a 2025 draft pick in the sixth round. This season, he has 19 points in 31 games, 6'2", 175 pounds, longer-term project for the Canadians.
Very fun to see LA Kings goaltending prospect Carter George make a little bit of history on Wednesday night.
Speaking of the World Juniors, we saw Carter George for Team Canada at the World Juniors. Bronze medalist Carter George. Carter George from Thunder Bay, Ontario. Always got to get a local mention in.
Yeah.
On Wednesday night, he scored a goalie goal for the Sioux Greyhounds against the London Knights. Now, he has scored a goalie goal before, so he becomes the first goaltender in Ontario Hockey League history to score 2 career goalie goals.
Well, congratulations to him on that. That is not an easy feat, and I think because it is such a difficult feat, I think he's going to hold that record for a while, and that's kind of a fun thing to start his career off with.
And he's also started his tenure with the Sioux Greyhounds very well. He was in a trade on January 7th, and since the trade, he has four wins, .940 save percentage, and a .125 goals against.
Very, very nice. How have the Laval Rocket been doing? Well, they've been doing pretty decently. This was a struggle. This is a bit of a struggly week for them. They hosted the Manitoba Moose last Saturday, and despite Jacob Fowler's best efforts, at his end of the ice, the rest of his team couldn't find the back of Manitoba's net. Manitoba shutting them out 3-0 at Place Belle. Tuesday, however, they started a bit of a Western road trip visiting Abbotsford first. Tuesday night, they beat Abbotsford 4-3. And I do believe, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that this was the first time in Laval's history that they have beaten Abbotsford on the road.
Which is amazing. Now, yeah. they haven't been around that long, but still.
Abbotsford has a very strong team.
They do.
They won the championship a couple years ago. So it's a big deal. They won 4-3, and Jacob Fowler in net again for that one. Also should mention Sean Farrell had 2 goals and an assist in that game. However, Wednesday night when they turned around to do the same thing, it was Abbotsford who came out on top this time. Although Laval did take it to overtime, Abbotsford winning 2-1. Kaapo Kähkönen in net this time, making 16 saves. So they still got a point out of that. So through their 40 games played, they have a 23-13-2-2 record, 50 points overall, still sitting in first place in the North Division, 6th overall in the AHL.
I'm just going to give a shout out to our friends at Flow Hockey, flowhockey.tv. Yeah. And we know that our dearest friend, Patrick Williams, is writing for them as well as the AHL site. And Patrick has been doing AHL power rankings each week. And just thought we'd check in on those. He's got the Grand Rapids Griffins as the number one team, Providence Bruins 2, Ontario Reign number 3. You have to look down to number 10 before you find the Laval Rocket. Now, this came out at the beginning of the week, so it was after the Manitoba game that you talked about, but before the Western road trip where they went to Abbotsford and soon to be Calgary. So he has the Laval Rocket dropping 3 places this week to 10th in the power rankings. And he said that he expects them to make their way back now that Owen Becker and Jacob Fowler are back in the lineup from the Montreal Canadiens.
Wonderful. The 12 Revere Lions, things are starting to look up a little bit for them. They have a 2-game winning streak going on down there in the ECHL. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to them. They're 5th in the North Division right now, 17th overall in the ECHL, but they snapped that losing skid that they were on, and they've been managing to put some games together. So congratulations to them. Just some general hockey notes before we take our first break here on the show. If there's nothing that we like more than a goalie goal, it's a goalie fight. And so we've got both on today's show.
Yeah, there's Carter a bit of a goalie bias this week, obviously, bit. Yeah.
And boy, let me tell you, don't get in Sergei Bobrovsky's way if he's ticked off about something. He and Alex Nedeljkovic, they went at it.
They did. And it was when the scrum was calming down a little bit when the two goalies went toe to toe. It's been 6 years since there's been a goalie fight in the National Hockey League. And Nedeljkovic has a bit of a, what would you call it, a Gordie Howe hat trick over his career for a goaltender, because he became just the 6th goaltender in NHL history to have scored a goal, picked up an assist, and got into a fight. and he joins, now listen to these names, and there's a Canadiens goaltender in here too. He's the 6th goaltender to have that feat. Well, the other 5 are Ron Hextall, Mike Smith, Billy Smith, Jose Theodore, and Chris Osgood.
Oh.
So tough company there. We always like to talk about goalies, as you said, goals and fights.
Yes. Interesting, on Wednesday, USA Hockey announced that unfortunately Florida Panthers D-man Seth Jones, out with injury, will be unable to play at the Winter Olympics next month. And so a replacement needed to be made. GM Bill Guerin selected Anaheim Ducks defenseman Jackson Lacombe. And of course, that sent up a flurry of hot debate this week and outrage from the Adam Fox supporters, as well as in Montreal, the Lane Hutson supporters.
Yeah, that set the Canadiens fans on fire, who, you know, strongly made the case for Lane Hutson. And I understand it. I certainly do. I think Jackson Lacombe is a very good defenseman, and dare to say a better defensive defenseman than Lane Hutson. And I think Lacombe suffers from the fact that he's out west, Anaheim Ducks. You know, lots of fans don't know just how good he is. But obviously USA Hockey sees something, not necessarily that that they don't want Lane Hutson, but that they figure that they have that side of the play covered, and they wanted Jackson Lacombe for a different way to fit into the lineup. I know that Canadiens fans were applauding the Canadiens X account for the tweet that was sent. Is a little unprofessional. If we're being objective, it was a little unprofessional, and we wouldn't want the shoe to be on the other foot here. But I fully understand, and I'd love to see Lane Hutson on Team USA, and who knows, another injury, not that we're wishing it on anyone.
No.
It could still happen.
It could still happen. All right. We are going to take a quick break here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. During the break, we have a message for you from our sponsors over at DraftKings Sportsbook. This is a new incentive for our listeners for DraftKings Sportsbook. And so you're going to want to check that out. And then when we come back, we are tackling the five issues being debated by Habs fans right now. Which ones are they, and what side of the coin will you fall on? Well, you got to stick around to find out. So stay with us. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The jaw-dropping moments that make hockey, hockey. Experience them all with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Missouri listeners, listen up. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in the Show Me State. New customers, this one's for you. Bet just $5, and if your bet wins, you'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $200 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Pass-through of per wager tax may apply in Illinois. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets, which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright NHL 2025. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. I'm here in the studio, of course, with our president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. You are welcome to follow either one of us over on Twitter. My handle is @FlyersRule. Rick's handle is @RocketSports. You're also welcome to and invited to follow the podcast on our socials as well. That's at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, and on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure you hit subscribe. If you love this kind of content, if you love the Montreal Canadiens, you're interested about talking about the Canadiens, their prospects, you name it, be sure you've hit that subscribe button. We don't ever want you to miss an episode. So this week, we're going back to one of our favorite formats here on the show, where we tackle the questions that everyone seems to be asking right now about the Montreal Canadiens. And so, as I mentioned in the first segment, we get plenty of texts and comments and mentions and so forth from listeners and viewers, and we've picked out five topics that keep popping up in emails, comments, conversations we're getting from listeners and viewers, and we're taking those five topics and we're putting them under the microscope. So we're going to run the gamut here from Sam Montembeau. We're going to talk about the defense a little bit, player usage, development of certain people in Laval, and some decisions that Kent Hughes has coming up. All issues that right now are unresolved and, quite frankly, really difficult to ignore. So let's get into it by starting with Sam Montembeau. And the question, the overarching question here in general is Sam Montembeau back? Like, is he like back? Is he like for real back? Is he legit back?
Yeah. And yeah, what does that mean? Is Sam Montembeau the clear cut number one goaltender of the Montreal Canadiens? No, of course not. I don't know that anyone would agree with that statement. And just to review, Sam Montembeau, a terrible start to the season. Sam Montembeau was getting the favorable deployment. He was getting a lot of home starts, and the Canadiens have a mediocre home record, largely because Sam Montembeau was losing a lot at the beginning of the season. Even into December, in early December, he had a terrible start, and he had become unplayable. He couldn't be played. Well, it was Fowler and the Dobish show for most of December. Sam went to the AHL on a conditioning stint. Mm-hmm. He lost both of the games he started in the AHL, and let's say he looked average. He didn't look like a strong NHL goaltender who was too good for the AHL. Bit of a mixed bag with the Laval Rocket. Mm-hmm. When he returned from the AHL, if you just look at the games, there was two against the Panthers and one against the Dallas Stars. He won all three of those games. Two of those ended up being overtime wins. And if you drill down a bit, he still wasn't looking great. He was still giving up a bad goal or two per game in those three games, even though he won them. His best start was a game he lost against the Capitals. He looked very good against the Washington Capitals, made 39 saves, lost that in overtime. But it was at that point, folks were saying, hey, Sam Montembeau is back. But can you make that decision based on one good, solid start? Well, no, of course not. Mm-hmm. And then as we've detailed already in the opening of the show, he wasn't very good this past week against Ottawa or Buffalo. So what's going to happen? We know that he's going to start a very important game, a divisional game, a rivalry game for the Canadiens, where he needs to perform and he needs to regain his confidence, and the Canadiens need the 2 points. Mm-hmm. On Saturday night. I think that you know, we talked about it before, but the Canadians went through a very difficult period of their schedule, probably the toughest of the season in December, and they turned the goal the crease over to two rookie goaltenders who handled the job
just fine.
just fine. Maybe not always pretty, but they didn't look out of place in Dobish and Fowler. Now Fowler's back in the AHL, back with Lavelle, and a place he'll likely stay until after the Olympics. What's going to happen? You know, for the handful of games that we have before the Olympic break. What's Sam Montembeau going to look like, and what's going to be debated by the hockey ops folks during that break?
Well, one of those questions is going to be, when will Eric Raymond be replaced?
We keep hearing this, and it's fair to say that Eric Raymond has not done much to make either goaltender look better. Fowler looked very good when he came up, and that's has little to do with Eric. It's Marco Marciano, who we know very well with Lavelle, who's a very good goaltending coach. And not only the technical stuff and helping the goaltender, the working with the goaltenders and building their confidence, it's the communication with the coaching staff. And it seems that time and time and time again that Eric's dropped the ball, either not making the case or making the coaching staff understand what the goaltenders need, what they need with respect to rest, where they are in terms of what they can handle, and all of that sort of thing. So I think that's a fair question. I wouldn't expect anything to happen till the off season. But as the Canadians, you know, go through all of the hockey departments and upgrade, I think it's fair to say that a big upgrade is needed. And maybe, you know, we talked a lot about establishing a department of goaltending. Mm-hmm. And bringing in someone with some gravitas, like a Carey Price, or and then the goaltending coaches underneath that, because it's gotten to that level the past few years, and we know that several other teams have done that.
Definitely. All right, so that takes care of the goaltending topic. Our second big issue being debated by Habs fans right now is, what is going on with the Canadiens' defense? And there's a lot of different facets to examine with that.
There are, you know, this is this. There's been a lot of debate about this, given Marty St. Louis' strategy, whether he's using man to man, whether he's using a hybrid. His focus this season was to ensure that the puck didn't spend a whole lot of time in their own zone, so he didn't have to worry about. Those strategies didn't have to necessarily worry about the personnel so much and the way they match up. You know, I think it part of the issue has been that their best offensive defenseman, Ngouli, has been out a good portion of the season, and it's going to take him a bit of time to ramp his play back up. And he's been paired with Carrier, he's been paired with Jacki. And it would be nice to see him get more minutes and be on the ice against the really tough matchups. A bit of a dog's breakfast when it comes to Matheson and Dobson. Mm. You know, that there's been many criticisms and examples of how they've not played well in their own zone. But you look at that shorthanded goal against the Sabres, and the two of them together, Canadians on the power play. Yes, Sam Montembeau was deep in the net, but Dobson seems surprised, and that the the Sabres forward had that kind of room. And Matheson just stood and watched, as he does many times. So I think, you know, that pairing has the veteran aspect to it, but it hasn't necessarily been the best. There's been lots of questions about deployment. One of the things that they seemed to get right was realize, and that was November, December, that Lane Hutson needs to be on his natural side, and how much better he plays on his natural side. Criticism of Lane Hutson and his defensive play this week, but that happened when he was playing first with Struble, and Struble has his problems on his own, but also Lane Hutson was spending some time on his offside. And you know, they just got to get that right. They got to realize, recognize that, yes, well, Hutson is a wonderful defenseman and is capable of playing on his offside. He's much, much better on his natural side.
And I believe he might be returning to his natural side against Boston on Saturday night.
Well, we don't know what the lineups are going to look like, but with Jacki coming back into the lineup, you would think that Jacki is going to be playing on the right side with Gouley, and that would put Carrier back with Hutson.
Yes, it would. In fact, from the Canadians, actually Hutson and Gouley are going to play together tonight.
Well, we don't mind that so much. All right.
With Hutson on his proper side.
That's an update. So it's Gouley that's going to play on his wrong side, which is, well, they're trying out all sorts of combinations. At least Lane is on his natural side, and Gouley has played on the right before. And that pairing, that pairing will get a lot of minutes, and they have been in the past a nice complement to each other.
They have, and you may have alluded to this when you were speaking about Matheson, but you know, a question that's coming out of all of this that we've said in the past, we've said it a couple times this season, it still needs to be answered. When are they just going to say, okay, let's swap Gouley and Matheson? Let's get Matheson off that top pairing.
Yeah, the ideal pairing, top pairing to play against the toughest opponents, you would think, on paper, would be Gouley and Dobson, both on their natural side. Both bring different things, good things to that pairing, but they don't seem to want to offend Mike Matheson by putting him anywhere other in the lineup other than on the top pairing. You know, the similar things with Adam Engstrom. Of course, mm-hmm. There's a roster crunch now, but we saw that he was very capable and had certainly passed Jacki and Struble and Carrier on the depth chart.
We talked about in goaltending. We talked about the question about Eric Raymond. Well, I think there's been similar rumblings about when is an upgrade to Stefan Robidoux going to happen?
Yeah, that comes up a lot. It comes up a lot in the comments. It comes up a lot in the texts. And I understand that the Canadians put together a makeshift coaching staff when Marty St. Louis came. They just continued on the assistants that were there. They haven't addressed that at all. Marty's been reluctant to make any changes because all those folks are pretty subservient to him. But I understand why the questions keep coming up about Robidoux. The other part of that is the penalty kill, which Robidoux looks after, has been awful this year. 24th in the league, and the Canadians need to improve on the penalty kill as well.
Massively. Okay, so topic number one was Sam Montembeault. Topic number two was the Canadians' defense. Where does that bring us for the hot topic number three? Well, here's a name you might not have thought about for a while, but starting to pick up some traction because people are saying, why haven't we heard this name in a while? And that is David Reinbacher. Will we see him with the Canadians this season? Because he has completely dropped out of the conversation. Hear mentions about Reinbacher at all lately.
And it's interesting it comes up now because he's gone through a bit of a rough patch in Laval. He had a tough week. Chris G outlined it in his Rocket notes last week on the Hockey Hot Stove. Yeah, they had tough games against Manitoba and Belleville. He's mishandling the puck. He doesn't look very confident. His confidence is shaken. But also this week, it was Kent Hughes was quoted as saying that that the Canadians are going to ensure that Reinbacher is overripe, was the word he used, before he is recalled. Overripe, that's interesting. And that's kind of new. It hasn't really applied to others. Now, because of injuries, it seems that Reinbacher has been with Laval for a very long time, but due to the injuries, he only has played 53 games. He only has 53 games of experience, regular season experience with, in the AHL, pro experience. So, that kind of makes sense. But the other thing that Kent Hughes said was very interesting. And he said, quote, given all the noise that was around David because we didn't draft Miechkov, and the pressure it put on him, that they're going to take their time in recalling him so that so there's not going to be any questions that he's an NHL player when he comes up. There's not going to be any opportunities for him to make any blunders when he comes up. So they're using kid gloves with David Reinbacher, and that's a bit unusual given the way that the amateur scouting staff have talked about Bobrov in particular has said that one of the criteria for in their drafting has been mental toughness. Those kinds of players who are ready for the big stage, those kind of players who can cope in the Montreal market, that have mental toughness. He's given that example when he's talked about Slavkovsky and Jacob Fowler. And David Reinbacher, we've seen, has been a bit more fragile. So it's a surprise maybe that they went that route, or maybe we're unaware of his mental makeup. If you listen to Kent Hughes, it's going to be a while before we see, David Reinbacher, unless there's again, other circumstances that happen. But he would solve some of those right left issues, when he's able to make the jump to the NHL, finishing off that right side.
We'll see how he rounds out the year in Laval. So going from someone who doesn't get talked about very much anymore to someone who seems to be a very frequent topic of conversation, and part of that is a lot of people asking, does he deserve to be such a topic of conversation? And that is Zach Bolduc. The question we're hearing a lot is, why does he get such preferential treatment, particularly when you look at how he has performed?
Yeah. Zach Bolduc has been, this season has been a huge disappointment, particularly the way he was being hyped after the trade, particularly the way he was being hyped in the preseason. He's been a disappointment, and and largely looked like he's lost in all three zones. Now, that changed this week in the Buffalo game. He was noticeable in that game, not always for the right reasons, but he did, kind of managing Kirby Doc's workload and his re-entrant to play and playing on that top line. Marty St. Louis gave Zach Bolduc a couple of shifts on the top line, and he got an assist. But in that game, he also got 6 minutes in penalties, and we can argue about whether they were deserved or not. But he did have 6 minutes in penalties. He is a guy who is undisciplined. He is a guy who trash talks a lot. We know that. And usually it's best if you have some accomplishments to back up the trash talking before you get involved in that. I think what we can all agree on is that Zach Bolduc, whether he had a good shift or good two shifts this week or half a game, he has difficulty with consistency. Not only game to game, but within a game, keeping consistent, keeping his effort throughout the game. And, you know, there has been a lot of conversation, a lot of fans saying, listen, what's the big deal? Why not just send him to Laval? Let him get his game back. He was a prolific scorer in junior. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that? There's no shame in that. And I agree. I mean, if there's no shame in sending a top prospect like Jacob Fowler, and listen, Zach Bolduc is nowhere near, you know, the kind of prospect that Jacob Fowler is. Why would there be such a, you know, a controversy about sending him down? And I found this fascinating. That Reno Lavoie came out and was angry. TVS Sport, he was angry. And he said, that's it. I find the discussion around sending Bolduc to the AHL unacceptable. Stop it right now. Why?
Why is that unacceptable?
And I think the way he was triggered, and some of the Montreal media are triggered, gives you a sense of that fans have hit on a nerve here, as Kent Hughes, was he talked to in terms of. Fleecing the St. Louis Blues when he never should have been. That was and that the Canadians had won that trade. That was all premature. But all of those things cause a reluctance by the organization. And it was funny because this week Kent Hughes was asked about making trades do you feel pressure from the fans to make a trade to shore up your playoff or to go far in the playoffs? And his quote was, I don't think outside pressure influences us in any significant way. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's very contradictory to what he said about David Reinbacher saying that fan pressure, media pressure is the reason we're not calling him up. And it seems that all of this, not wanting to be criticized for sending Bolduc and Reno Lavoie is unofficial mouthpiece, that it seems that they would be, it seems quite the opposite, that they're not wanting to cause a firestorm by sending Bolduc down, inflaming the Montreal media, and so that outside pressure is certainly affecting the reason. Now, let's look at the reality that they only have five games to do it before Bolduc will require waivers. So we acknowledge all that, but you know, think of your prospect. Think of how much. It would help him to be out of the pressure cooker and being able to figure out his game and have time with Pascal Vincent, who is excellent with mm-hmm. the prospects and teaching what they need to perform in the NHL.
I don't see anything wrong with it, not in the least. And as you said, you know, we talked about it in the first segment. Sure, he had a couple of good shifts with Suzuki and Caulfield this week, and you mentioned that he had an assist, but he took three minor penalties. Like that doesn't equate. You can't do that. I think fans. I know we do, but fans in general, I think, get frustrated when. It seems like decisions aren't made based on hockey and they're based on, you know, a veritable cornucopia of other things, and they should be based on hockey. All right, so that brings us, we've gone over Sam Montembeau and the goaltending situation. The defense has been a hot topic lately. Rheinbacher has been coming up a lot lately. Zach Bolduc. Well, Patrick Laine rounds out our five hot topics, hot questions, and issues being debated by Habs fans right now. What will Kent Hughes do with Patrick Laine? We know his return is kind of imminent. I would expect to probably see him next week. What's Kent Hughes going to do with him?
You know, Kent Hughes recently said that you can't disappear contracts in the NHL. Can't disappear players either, as much as he might want to. Patrick Laine is a difficult issue for them, because when you look at the lineup, where does he fit? Really, where does he fit? Maybe he can add to the second wave of the power play. But if you do that, you still have to play him 5-on-5. And who are you taking out? We talked about last week, even with the injured players coming back and the ones that we've talked about already, there was difficult decisions being made. Joe Valeno's out, Sammy Blais out. And it's going to require more once they have to deal with cap issues and roster limitations and whatnot. Patrick Laine, can he go on the first line? Well, no. He's not defensively good enough to play against the top players of the opposition. And skating wise, does his style fit? Can he keep up with the speed game of Suzuki and Caulfield? So second line, no, of course not. And then you start trying to fit him in the bottom six, and it gets really difficult. So according to Francois Gagnon with RDS, and Francois Gagnon is a reliable reporter. He says that Kent Hughes is looking to trade Patrick Laine before the trade deadline. So what's going to happen there? And related, we had Patrick Laine's wife, Jordan Lee Laine, put a provocative post on Instagram. I don't know what you'd call it, but it's clear that they're both aware of the possibility that Patrick Laine could be traded.
Absolutely. Her post on Instagram, her standing on a street in a long fur coat and a New York Yankees ball cap. The caption on it says, "Point of view waiting on the hockey gods to decide your family's future." And hashtag wag, hashtag hockey humor, hashtag jokes.
Yeah.
But then the caption that's the text that's on top of the video of her says, "Traveling for away games when it's your husband's contract year and mentally preparing for the trade deadline." And at the end of her little video, she's got a voiceover from a different source, but she lip syncs the "Should I move here?"
Yeah.
So I'm guessing, you know, did they, you know, traveling for away games? Well, I don't know. Did he travel with the team to Boston? So did they go to Boston together, or is it Boston?
Yeah, not Boston. This was a few days ago, beginning of the week that she posted this. Don't know when the picture was taken, but yeah, they're obviously aware of the situation, aware that a trade could happen. I don't know what the purpose of the post on Instagram was, but you know, it's an entirely possible. I don't know who the takers would be for Patrick Laine. And there's lots of comments from Canadians fans that, oh no, his value is at its lowest right now. You have to put him in the lineup, let him score some goals and show. Well, I don't know that that's to disrupt the lineup, to go through the cap gymnastics and roster gymnastics that you have to do to accomplish that. I don't know that you're going to showcase a Patrick Laine right now and how long that would take. There is another possibility, and that is some sort of conditioning stint in Laval that he could go right from, he's on LTIR now, mm-hmm. onto a conditioning stint. He'd have to agree to it. And then back to LTIR. But the Canadians seem to be trying to stretch this out until a solution falls into their laps.
That one will be an interesting one to see how that all plays out. We love bonuses here on the Canadians Connection. So, yes, we said there were five hot topics of conversation that Habs fans are debating right now. We've got a bonus. The trade freeze, trade deadline opportunities. We've had some, you know, that's going right along with Patrick Laine. There is going to be a trade freeze prior to the Olympic break, so that during the Olympic break, teams cannot make trades. And then when the Olympic break concludes, there's not a whole lot of time before the trade deadline rolls around. That's going to be a very busy week or so. But what's the latest in terms of the Canadians?
The new information we have is this week, Kent Hughes said he's not really interested in sending prospects for veterans. Mid-30s to late-30s veterans. He was that specific. I don't know what that means for those of you out there that have been clamoring for a Blake Coleman. The other thing he said is we're open to creative hockey trades, so kind of cap-neutral trades. Now, the assumption, I guess, would also be that he would be open to cap negative trades, and that is trading a contract out for you know, draft picks or such, and that would certainly apply to a Patrick Laine. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a trade, but it's not going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be a very unique situation. Either sending someone out or bringing someone in for Kent Hughes to pull off a trade, either before the Olympic trade freeze or the trade deadline.
Definitely. All right. Well, there you have it. That is all of the latest topics of conversation, hot button issues that are being debated by Habs fans that we keep getting comments and questions about. Habs media, it's certainly coming up often. The season continues to evolve. It's certainly the team, the organization, and their outlook certainly looks different now than it did 3 months ago when the season started. And it's going to keep changing. It's going to change a little bit more heading into the Olympic break. It's definitely going to change once we see how they handle the trade deadline coming out of the Olympic break and then that push to the end of the regular season. So you don't want to miss an episode. You don't want to miss a game that the Canadians play, and you don't want to miss an episode of the Canadians Connection podcast. So A, make sure you're subscribed. B, if you think other Habs fans would enjoy the show, be sure you hit the share button and share this episode on your favorite social media platform and put it out there for everyone. And C, let us know your responses to what we've come up with for this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. And it all goes back to topic number one, Sam Montembeau. We want to know from all of you, has Sam Montembeau done enough to convince you that his goaltending struggles are over? Behind him? Kaput? Finished? That he's raring to go? He's A-okay? He's back to Sam being, you know, a very prolific, reliable goaltender. Has Sam Montembeau done enough to convince you that his goaltending struggles are behind him? Send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line, 5853-ROCKET. Drop us a comment on YouTube or on Spotify. Hit us up on social media at Habs Connection, X, Facebook, Instagram. Let us know what you think. Has Sam Montembeau done enough to convince you his goaltending struggles are behind him? We're going to take your best responses, most thoughtful, most interesting responses, and we're going to read them on next week's show. In the meantime, we've got some great responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week, and we are going to share those with you right after we hear from our sponsors over at DraftKings one more time. So stay with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The jaw-dropping moments that make hockey, hockey. Experience them all with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Missouri listeners, listen up. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in the Show Me State. New customers, this one's for you. Bet just $5, and if your bet wins, you'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $200 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Pass-through of per-wager tax may apply in Illinois. 21-plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets, which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright NHL 2025. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, episode 384 of the Canadians Connection podcast. Once again, just going to remind you quickly, if you haven't done so, subscribe to the podcast, but also subscribe to our YouTube channel. That is a way that you can get our podcast. You can play it on YouTube as well. Our channel, easiest way to find it is just type in to your browser, InsideTheCanadians.com. That'll just take you right to our YouTube channel. Also, be sure, as I said, subscribe to the show. If you'd like some written content each and every week, be sure you're checking out our coverage over at HockeyHotStove.com. That's HockeyHotStove.com. Click on the Canadians logo and you will find all of our written coverage over there. And don't forget to follow us on social media as well. Be sure, we know you have opinions about it, be sure that you are sending in your responses to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Has Sam Montembeau done enough to convince you that his goaltending struggles are behind him? There's a lot of opinions about this. We want to hear yours. In the meantime, we've got some great replies to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week, where we asked who risks... We're talking about all of these players who are now getting healthy and coming back into the lineup. And we asked who risks losing their spot in the lineup once the roster is fully healthy. And we had some interesting replies to this.
We're going to start with our Rocket Sports Slack group of all of our contributors that belong to that. And this one comes from Mike. Mike says, great episode, folks. Regarding the CC question of the week, who moves out? Looks like the team has already listened and reunited Andy and Galley with Deneau. And I had mentioned that last week that I'd like to see Phil Deneau center a line with Josh Anderson, Brendan Gallagher. And that was done miraculously. Yeah. Marty agreed. Mike says, I love the idea, has the potential for a great third line. I agree. Mike goes on to say, I'm sending down Bolduc for all the reasons you mentioned. Spot on. He needs a reset, needs some confidence. Let him get 20 minutes a night for a bit in the A and see what he can do to find his game again. Agree again with Mike. Mike says, I'm also waving, hopefully sending to Lavelle, Sammy Blais. He did a commendable job as a Band-Aid, but the lineup is too deep for him. He goes on to say, Valeno is the next odd man out, but I don't really want to lose him on waivers. Plus, I don't think he has anything to gain in the AHL. I'd keep him as a 13th forward and wouldn't be shy giving Andy Galley Evans the odd maintenance scratch. It's a deep lineup and a long season. Team is finally almost healthy. No sense in playing through stuff that could come back as long-term injuries. So keep the lines 1, 2, 3 the same. Add a boatload of talent on the fourth line. Play the third and fourth evenly to slowly ramp up Doc and Patrick Laine. Keep a close eye on Texier and reward Doc and Laine with the odd shift on the top line.
Wow.
Very complete.
Yeah.
Very comprehensive. We love the response. Really well done, Mike. And if we look at, well, you were mentioning that the Habs put out their projected lineup against the Bruins. Mm-hmm. What are we going to see on Saturday night against Boston? Suzuki and Caulfield, obviously, on the top line. Alex Texier is going to head back there and complement those two. The Kapanen, Slavkovsky, Demidov line, the second line. You're not touching that. Mm-hmm. Of course you're not. Evans with Zach Bolduc and Kirby Doc. That could be a very good line. Lots of speed on that line. And each of them can forecheck some physicality as well. And that line that I talked about last week that I wanted to see and Mike mentioned in his message. You have Phil Deneau centering Brendan Gallagher and Josh Anderson, the veteran line, as the fourth line. Just to dip in on the defensive pairs, Mathis and Dobson expected, again, as the top line for the Canadiens against Boston. You mentioned it, Hudson and Gooley on the second pair, and Jacki and Carrier on the third pair.
All right. Moving over to Spotify, we had a great response over on Spotify from Daniel G, who said, which idiot asked Dobesh the question? Of course, this is referring to the controversial question that was asked by a Montreal reporter to Jakub Dobesh last week, asking him how he would feel if and when he was sent down to Laval when there were still three goaltenders up in the NHL.
And it was after a win by
Jakub Dobesh.
After the fact that he's leading the Canadian goaltenders in wins. I think we identified the reporter as being from the Gazette. We certainly didn't say it was Herb Zerkowski, and I wouldn't do that.
Really?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Daniel G, there's the answer to that question. He said, which idiot asked Dobesh the question? He says, note, that's why we listen to the podcast and no longer trust mainstream news of any kind.
Well, we appreciate the trust.
Well, that's an endorsement, let me tell you.
Thank you.
So thank you, Daniel. We really appreciate that. And we're glad that you can rely on us for a more fair and objective view. Over on YouTube, at Beyond says, who gets cut when everyone is healthy? Struble, Valeno, Blais. Trade, Doc, and Laine. All right.
Well, he's right about the three cuts. Struble, right, Valeno, and Blais. Yeah.
And we'll see what happens with Kirby Doc and Patrick Laine. So some great replies last week. Keep them coming, please, please, please. And we love our YouTube commenters. We love people who chime in on our Slack group on social media, and great seeing our spot. We have a ton of listeners over on Spotify. I mean, a ton. And so it's great to see our Spotify listeners starting to engage as well and drop comments there. So keep that coming on. As we've mentioned, Montreal is in Boston tonight, Saturday night, to take on the Bruins. Then they return back to the Bell Center next week for a Tuesday-Thursday set, hosting the Vegas Golden Knights on Tuesday night and the Colorado Avalanche on Thursday. So
two tough games at home next week.
Two tough games at home and an important divisional game on Saturday night. Boston also only sits, I think, 2 points Are they 2 points behind, 2 or 3 points behind the Canadians?
Yeah, a little bit behind, 3 or 4 points behind.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's another big game for both teams tonight. So three doozies. We'll see how all of that works out. One thing we can count on is that we will be back here next Saturday, January 31st, for our next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast. We want you to be here as well. Guaranteed there's going to be plenty to talk about, and you're not going to want to miss it. Stay safe if you are in the path of the big storm coming up this weekend. Otherwise, enjoy the hockey, enjoy your week, and we'll see you again for another great edition of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.